Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good to see everybody. My name's Pastor Rick Elder. I'm the pastor here at First Baptist Roseland. Been here 7 years.
It's a muggy September 9th in Roseland, Louisiana, about an hour north of New Orleans.
Hopefully, heard about this opportunity to have some friends from out of state come down and give their professional opinion on just some of the things that have happened.
Like in Conyers, the questions about what happened here are being asked inside a church. So much of this story has unfolded inside churches, from town halls in Georgia to this meeting in Roseland. Maybe that's not an accident, because it's where people still believe someone might hear them.
Just as there may be chemicals or toxins, we all have the toxin of sin, and Christ is the only cure to that chemical spill that's in all of our souls.
In August, an explosion at Smitty Supply, a lubricant manufacturing facility in this predominantly black town, swept through a 15-acre complex that housed 500,000 gallons of flammable material. A retiree stands up from the back pews.
Because the biggest lie ever told is there a fire and the state police said nothing went beyond the fence. Or nothing is toxic. The biggest lie ever told. But somehow they proclaimed that nothing went toxic, went beyond the face line. With all due respect, I mean, they do great work in giving tracking tickets, et cetera. But when it comes to any disaster, they have a tendency to err on the side of there's no toxics beyond the fence line.
This retiree is no other than former 3-star Army Lieutenant General Russell Honoré. You remember him, sunglasses, the cigar hanging from his mouth. When Hurricane Katrina smashed into New Orleans in 2005, he commanded the nation's military response.
Right now, we're still in the crisis phase of this because we have not gotten the people out of the devastated, the destroyed area because we're still looking for them. There's still people hiding in the top of their houses. If we could see them, we would go to them. And in some cases, we're getting phone calls from them and they're telling us where they are, and we're going after them, and we're getting them. That's what my focus is right now. We might be in the halftime in this game. We might be losing 50 to nothing, but I'm going to focus on this next half.
That is to say, he knows about disasters, and he knows this place. Born and raised in Lakeland, Louisiana, the general now lives in Baton Rouge, 60 miles east of Roseland.
Because you need to start petitioning your local government and your parish government for air monitoring. Air monitoring, not what the company hired, but independent mayor on it, and they can hire that and they get reimbursed for it later. You need independent air monitoring, and you need drinking water testing. As these chemicals set on the ground, they will get in the aquifer.
Listening from the back of the church, it felt like deja vu. Another fire, another plume, questions about what was being tested and how testing was being handled, a church packed with people concerned about implications for their long-term health. When I started reporting on BioLab, I thought I was following one single disaster, but standing here, hundreds of miles away, it felt more like a sequel. But is there any hope this story will have a better ending? I'm Pamela Kirkland, and this is Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story. This podcast has brought us to a couple different places around the country. We've gone to East Palestine, Ohio. Of course, we've talked about Conyers. But the plant explosion in Roseland, Louisiana, was my first time being on site at a chemical disaster outside of Georgia.
EPA leaders say more help is on the way.
This happened at Smitty Supply, which is a petroleum manufacturer.
Smitty's in the Tangipahoa River is filthy with oil.
6 weeks after the Smitty's explosion, you can still see the sheen, the oil, floating down the Tangipahoa River.
Residents say the plume from the fire at Smitty's sent oily residue across the town and throughout the parish, coating porches, rooftops, and playgrounds. More than 80% of the town's 1,200 residents evacuated. The EPA confirmed that toxic substances were found in soot following the explosion. An analysis of water and soil samples detected metals, including arsenic, barium, chromium, and lead. EPA officials said none of it was enough to pose a threat to human health. It was a familiar message. After the biolab fire in Georgia, officials said the same thing. Here's Jose Negron with the EPA last year in Georgia.
Now it's a matter of dealing with the residual of the chemicals that are non-hazardous, and the cleanup, which is essentially going to be more like a construction site. So a lot of dust, and that's going to be the main concern. Nothing of hazard.
Question over here.
But in Roseland, days after the explosion, people returned home to a smell some described as burned gasoline still hanging in the air. Van Showers is the mayor of Roseland. He's not satisfied that the official response made his town safe again.
I don't think it's getting the attention that it deserved, because if it was getting the attention that it deserved, we would be receiving calls from our senators, which I haven't heard from any of those guys, to find out what this community needs to get it back on its feet. I mean, just listen to you was in the meeting that I was in tonight. I mean, it's real concerning with the chemicals that's been released in this community, and we're not receiving the effort or help that we need.
He says residents were mostly cleaning their property themselves, scrubbing oily residue from their homes and gardens. General Honoré can't believe it.
Clean your property up. I've never seen a government agency tell people go clean yourself up. I've never seen that one before.
Smitty's is not in the corporate family of Biolab, but like Biolab, it had a history of OSHA and EPA violations. The company says it plans to rebuild in the town. Smitty's provided hundreds of jobs for the community. After the fire, they laid off almost all of their 450 employees. They were only paid for unused vacation time. You can hear the echoes of Conyers. There are more. At the Roseland Town Hall, General Honoré told the crowd this wasn't an ordinary fire.
They're trying to handle this like a normal emergency. It's not a normal emergency. Because any of that soot you might have breathed in has something called VOC, volatile organic compounds, that may take months or years to metastasize in your organs.
Back in Georgia, independent tester Scott Smith said almost the same thing.
You have volatile organic compounds which go into the air and dissipate rapidly.
In Louisiana, the general recommended which health tests residents should look for.
County should request that the state start blood testing of anybody that go to the doctor and set up blood testing center that everybody in the community, whether you was in the plume or not, get a record blood test to test for those chemicals.
The same kind Rockdale County Soil and Water Commissioner Kenny Johnson recommended Conyers residents get in the days after the biolab fire.
Everybody in Rockdale County need to go to the doctor and check out their blood for toxins. Please get that out.
When the fire in Roseland made the news, my phone started lighting up. But not from Louisiana, from Georgia. People in Conyers were watching the footage. One of the first messages came from Hannah Lloyd. We met Hannah last season after she and her family relocated to Florida after the fire at Biolab.
My 3-year-old daughter came to me and said, "Mommy, please help me, I'm itchy." And sat on the floor, started spinning in circles, screaming a scream I've never heard in my life. And I knew right then that we had to get out of there.
When she heard about the fire in Roseland, she jumped right onto social media to see what was going on for herself.
So then I got over there to TikTok, and there were like video after video after video of this fire. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So then I start sharing some of it, the blue shirt page, and then people just started coming and joining the group. And I was like, these people are where I was at at this time a year ago.
Hannah became an administrator on the Blue Shirt Justice League Facebook group last year. It connects residents from different parts of the country dealing with the fallout of chemical disasters. She says messages poured in, so she tried to help families navigate the best she could so they wouldn't be alone.
And this one dad, he messaged me and he was like, we have property in another county right now. We're doing Airbnb to Airbnb. And I said, yeah, that's what we did. I said, every weekend through October, through the end of 2024, we depleted our whole savings by getting Airbnbs that we're still paying on now. I was like, you have to do what you have to do.
Hannah says the stories reminded her so much of what Conyers residents went through after the biolab fire.
People message me in confidence. People message me not in confidence. Like, it just kind of blew up. And I was like, these people need us. Literally, you're watching the playbook play out on these people who have no idea what they're about to face for the rest of their life.
She says she's doing it because she wished there was a resource like this available for her when she didn't know where to turn for help. And she asks, if the EPA can go out of its way to track independent watchdogs like Scott Smith, who fly in and try to help disaster victims find answers,
then why can't they watch people like Biolab or Smitty's or places like that that are causing these disasters, that are causing families to relocate, causing families to remain sick?
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. Records show the fire at Biolab drew attention far beyond Rockdale County and Metro Atlanta. Emails I obtained show the EPA received a direct call from the White House Situation Room the day the fire erupted. The White House wanted to know whether local authorities had ordered an evacuation or shelter in place, what radius was being used, and what kind of air monitoring data the EPA was collecting. Other emails show White House staff were later included in follow-up policy discussions about chemical safety and the chemical burned inside Biolab, TCCA. Pause for just a second, because if you've been here from season 1, you know we've talked about a regulatory gap that TCCA falls into.
The CSB has long been concerned about the regulatory gap in coverage of reactive chemicals, which has led to many serious incidents over the past 3 decades. Those incidents caused deaths, injuries, and significant property damage.
The CSB has raised concerns about that gap for decades. The White House had questions about that regulatory gap, too. Those emails from the White House to the EPA showed the EPA planned a rollout of its updated risk management program, the set of rules meant to prevent accidental chemical releases. But where the conversation goes after that, I don't know. I followed up with additional FOIA requests. Those are still pending. Much of the information we've been able to piece together about the biolab fire comes from the U.S. Chemical Safety Board's investigations. The CSB is one of the smallest agencies in the federal government, and unlike the EPA or OSHA, the CSB can't issue fines or citations. But it does investigate accidental chemical releases and then issue safety recommendations designed to keep them from happening again. This is CSB member Catherine Sandoval during a board meeting earlier this year.
The CSB's work really is highlighting these issues, but ultimately it is up to all of you to make sure that these recommendations are implemented so that we can keep our community safe and help keep this critical sector operating safely and for the benefit of our communities and our nation.
The agency was created by Congress in 1998 to be completely independent. Board members are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Since it began operations, the CSB has investigated nearly 200 incidents nationwide, issuing more than 1,000 recommendations that have led to safer practices across the chemical industry. One of my favorite emails I found in an EPA document dump was a heads up, y'all, sent around to staff once the CSB announced they were heading in to investigate the biolab fire. That's how much their role as independent investigators matters. Cheryl Garcia, our retired nurse practitioner, is thankful they're doing what they're doing.
I just thank God for the CSB. If it wasn't for the Chemical Safety Board, I mean, they know what they're doing and they expose all these things, but because they're not a regulatory agency, they can just say, hey, you should do this, you need to fix that.
Cheryl says if she trusts the government response at all, it's because of the CSB.
Really, there's no way to trust that what the government says they're doing has actually been done in terms of remediation. I just don't trust them.
Now, the Trump administration's 2026 budget would eliminate the Chemical Safety Board entirely. Officials say its job of being a third-party watchdog over OSHA and the EPA could be done by OSHA and the EPA. When I told Cheryl that the CSB might not survive another year, she paused for a moment before answering.
It might be. Hopefully they'll be done with the biolab, their investigation into that before that happens. But, I mean, if the CSB goes away,
we're toast. I mean, the entire country. Because these events happen everywhere. I mean, they just had an explosion at a Coke factory in Pennsylvania. I mean, it's like, and now if we lose the CSB, I didn't know that. That's a terrible thing. I mean, it just fits everything else that's going on with this administration, and this country's in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. I had no idea about that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to drop it.
No, it's okay. I'm happy you told me. So we can be prepared.
The CSB's report on biolab was still underway when the budget proposal was released. If Congress doesn't restore funding, that investigation may never be completed, and Conyers may never learn what the CSB knows. Over two seasons, Manufacturing Danger has traced the story of one company and one fire and uncovered a lot more than I ever thought I would, with implications stretching far beyond the state of Georgia. We learned that Biolab stored nearly twice as many chemicals as it told Rockdale County it intended to hold, that corrosion, ignored repairs, and years of cost-cutting were early warning signs. We learned that when the fire started, the EPA had a chemical mapping plane capable of analyzing the plume in real time, but it never launched. That first responders ran into the plume without knowing what chemicals were burning. That questions about cancer-causing dioxins were raised by multiple experts, but never really answered. That the company's parent firm, Kick Consumer Products, is not in a great place financially. This summer, new enforcement documents show that questions about biolab safety practices still aren't resolved. In July, Georgia's Environmental Protection Division issued an order citing hazardous waste violations found during a follow-up inspection after the fire. Inspectors documented unlabeled and improperly stored containers and missing contingency plan information for local emergency responders. Biolab agreed to pay a $33,000 penalty in a settlement, along with other measures. Federal oversight of the company is also still active. An OSHA follow-up inspection is still open. I don't even know what it's about. The agency says it can't release any further information while that investigation is ongoing. What we've also learned is that what's happened at Conyers isn't isolated. Whether it's Georgia or Ohio or Louisiana, the stories echo each other. Louisiana actually became the center of a national rollback of environmental civil rights safeguards last year. A state court decision blocked the federal government from using the Civil Rights Act to challenge industrial pollution in Black communities. And under the new administration, key chemical safety rules are being dismantled. It was kind of surreal seeing General Honoré, a literal American icon, speaking at the town hall in Roseland. The man who led the military response after Hurricane Katrina, now telling residents to mobilize.
This is going to be a challenge in these people doing recovery. And whether you're recovering from a hurricane or a man-made disaster, recovery is a living hell. Because the people responsible want to do as little as they can, and the government appears to want to do as little as they can.
Honoré says, for now, do not rely on the government to fix this. I think a lot of people we've spoken with throughout this podcast would agree with him, because back in Conyers, for the residents who lived through these fires, people like Hannah Lloyd, Cheryl Garcia, and Jean Sadler, the story isn't over.
Because the chemicals for the pools and the Clorox and the Ajax and the different stuff, it's not going to go away. They're still selling it. So you're making it somewhere. So where you may be under another name instead of BioLab, but you're still a BioLab company. You're still selling the same, and it's probably the same investors, the same owners that was here in Conyers. Let us find you, sir, so you can pay up.
They're still waiting for complete findings and the reassurance that another plume of smoke won't go up over another town someplace else. Manufacturing Danger, the BioLab story, is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. This podcast was written by me, Pamela Kirkland. Grant Blankenship is our senior editor. GPB's podcast team includes Sandy Malcolm, Jeremy Powell, Jake Cook, and Mark Davenport. For more, visit gpb.org/podcasts.